Psalm 122, here again God's Word. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." And then you want to keep your finger there in Psalm 122 and turn back in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Chronicles, the third chapter and the very first verse, to 2 Chronicles 3 and the first verse. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, which is good. And we thank you, Father, that as we are gathered together this morning, you are pleased to meet with us and dwell in our midst. You are pleased, Father, to graciously be present with us. And we thank you for that. And we pray that your Spirit would give us light concerning your word, so that we might today and on other occasions gladly come into your presence for our times of worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're a relatively small company this morning, lots of folks traveling and on vacation, and I'm glad for those of you who are visiting with us. The Church of Jesus Christ is not an institution that is held in high regard by most of the people in our culture and in our society today. And there are probably several different reasons. Two of them would be that the increasing secularization of our culture and society has influenced us to such an extent that the majority of people in our nation have the idea that they can get along perfectly well without God, and so church is not necessary. The proliferation over the past couple of decades, especially, of nonprofit parachurch organizations has also influenced evangelicals to the extent that they also think that church is not altogether necessary. And so when you combine those things, the Church of Jesus Christ, at least the institutional church, has fallen on hard times. And so the church at large has attempted to identify itself more and more with the culture rather than being countercultural. That's one of the things that is taking place, at least within the church. The psalm which is before us in Psalm 122 expresses a gladness with regard to worship, a gladness with regard to the house of God, a gladness with regard to the city of God, and it expresses the importance of our love for the city of God, which in the psalm, of course, is Jerusalem. And when we understand Scripture properly, we understand that those words can be readily applied to each of us and to the Church of Jesus Christ. And at the head of the outline, I give you these simple words that come from the psalm and come out of the psalm. God gives you a city of peace. The Church of Jesus Christ, gladly love her, gladly pray for her, gladly seek her good. And in order to be glad to come to the house of the Lord, in order to gladly love her and gladly pray for her and gladly seek her, there has to be an inclination of heart for her that is given by God. I want us to look at Psalm 122 a little bit this morning and get some of the background of the psalm and then look at the psalm proper. So what I propose this morning is, in the first half of the outline, some of the background of the psalm, which I think is important for us to grasp the meaning, and then we'll look at the psalm itself. David, who was king of Israel, rejoices at God in the psalm, and I think this is the case, and Calvin tells us this is the case, because God chose Jerusalem and Mount Zion as the place where he would permanently dwell. Derek read for us passages from the books of Chronicles, and it's very interesting that it was an extraordinary circumstance which brought David to the place of understanding that Jerusalem was the place that God chose to permanently dwell among the people of Israel. David, you will recall, ordered a census of Israel, and he did so in order that he might boast in the strength of Israel. But God sent a plague against David and against Israel because of this sinful disposition within David's heart. And when David sought the Lord, God, through the prophet Gad, said to David, "Go up to the threshing floor of Ornan, and there build an altar before the Lord and sacrifice." And David, being obedient to God, did just that. And after the plague had been withstood because of the sacrifices, David stood back and he said, "You know, this is really interesting. The altar of God and the tabernacle of God is in Gibeon. And God commanded that the sacrifices be given in his altar in the tabernacle. But he's now accepted in this place offerings. And the ancient promises of God through Moses dawned upon David in that circumstance where God said, I will cause my people three times a year to go up and at the feast times to offer sacrifices in the place I will choose. And David thought to himself, this must be the place. And so we read in 2 Chronicles, in the third chapter and verse 1, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David, at the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. He began to build on the second day in the second month of the fourth year of his reign." There's the place. The promises were fulfilled, and it took almost 500 years for those promises to be fulfilled. And so when David pens these words of Psalm 122, and you can go back to Psalm 122 now, when he pens these words, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord." The promises of God were in view. The ancient promises. Here's the place God promised to dwell. And so it is at this present time. Derek also indicated that this section of the Psalter, 15 Psalms, and Psalm 122 is among them, is one of the so-called Psalms of Ascents. And if you look at the heading of the Psalm, that's what it says. A Song of Ascents of David. And there are many explanations for this title which are given. Luther supposed that the choir of the Levites sang on an elevated place in the temple, and so they had to ascend to that more elevated place in the temple. That was Luther's conjecture. Calvin said, well, the Psalms of Ascents, that must mean that the Psalms were sung at a higher range. I think the range ought to be lowered in all the Psalms in our songbook, because many of them I can't reach for sure. Calvin thought that they were sung at a higher register. The Jewish people thought that there were 15 steps that went up from the area where the women could gather in the temple to the court where the men could go in, the heads of households, and offer sacrifices, and that the Levites stood on those 15 steps, and each of the 15 Psalms of Ascents were sung on those steps. Calvin said that's ridiculous, and then he proposed this other idea of the higher register. The most popular understanding of these Psalms, however, is that they were sung when the people of Israel went up three times a year to offer sacrifices in Jerusalem. And in the Bible, you always go up to Jerusalem, whether you're north of the city or south of the city, whether you're east of the city or west of the city. You always go up to Jerusalem. And these Psalms, it is thought, the 15 of them, Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, were sung as the people went up to celebrate the feasts. And so in verse 1 it says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And in verse 4 it says in the Psalm, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord. It's the same word that's used in the title, as the tribes ascend up to Jerusalem. But then we also have to understand, folks, and I think this is very true, that the Old Testament city of Jerusalem and the Old Testament temple were pictures of and foreshadowings of the church of Jesus Christ. And this is an important connection for us as we look at the Psalm this morning. Keep your finger there in Psalm 122 and go back in your Bibles, if you would please, to Hebrews chapter 12. We've looked at this text before, but let's look at it again. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 22 through 24. And then I want to look at another New Testament text in 2 Corinthians 6. Hebrews 12. We come to what? The writer to the Hebrews says. You have come, verse 22 says. You have come to Mount Zion. He's speaking to Christians. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. The church of Jesus Christ is the city of God. It is a city fit for heaven, and therefore it is a heavenly city. And you have come to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. You have come to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn enrolled in heaven. What is Zion? What is Jerusalem? It is a picture of and foreshadowing of the Church of Jesus Christ. And we, the Church, are the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. Folks, this is one of the tremendous things. We are a people through Jesus Christ who are fit for the heavenly realm. And God has so made us. And we give praise to Him. And then if you'd look at, briefly, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul gives us the same emphasis. He asks a question at the beginning of verse 16. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and we shall be their people. What are we? What are we as the Church of Jesus Christ? We are the temple of the living God. And God dwells in our midst and among us. Is it any wonder then that we should take Psalm 122 in that Old Testament Psalter and apply it to our present day circumstances as the Church of Jesus Christ? No, we can do that readily, it seems to me. The Church of Jesus Christ then becomes the place wherein God's promises are fulfilled. The Church of Jesus Christ is the place where God's people gladly go up to worship Him. The Church of Jesus Christ is the place where God's people assemble, and He is vitally, graciously, lovingly in the midst of us. Thank you, our God, that this is the case. Look back now at Psalm 122, if you would. Let's just read it in its parts and look at it briefly. I think the psalm comes to us in three basic parts. The first two verses are an introduction. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. If this is indeed the place where God's promises are fulfilled, if this is indeed the place where God richly dwells in grace, would we not then be glad to go up and worship with the people of God? Would this not be the case? Surely it would. I was glad. And the word glad here has a couple of different meanings, a couple of different aspects to its meaning. On one hand, the word glad has to do with physical prosperity. And we're glad because the harvest was brought in. The harvest here in Kansas was recently brought in. It was a good harvest. And we're glad that this is the case because in God's providence, He cares for us in this fashion physically. But it also has a spiritual import. I was glad, and I was glad because God, in His grace, has given me of His Spirit through Jesus Christ. The psalmist uses the same word in Psalm 16. My heart was glad. Why? Because my soul, my life, would not be left to Sheol, would not be left in death, but I would be raised again. That's the hope of the Christian. And I'm glad that that's the case. I have a great hope, and I have great security in Jesus Christ. I was glad, therefore, when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And here we are, folks. Here we are. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. We are there in the house of God. You know, sometimes when there is a lesser number of us, we get the sense that it's not as important for us to be here. Or we get a sense of the fact that maybe God is not as vitally present with us when this is the case. No, friends, that's not the case. Not at all. And the promise remains, and God is faithful. And we are standing. We are in the presence of our good God. And then there's a description of the city of Jerusalem in the following verses. Jerusalem that is built, a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Jerusalem. The name is repeated from the second verse. Jerusalem, the city of peace, the possession of peace. It's the place where peace resides. And the third verse says that it's a city that is compact together. And that not only refers to the architecture of the city, where the temple was carefully constructed and those huge building blocks carefully set into place, and other houses and courts and palaces and streets carefully constructed. And so it was during the time of David that the city was a beautiful place to behold. But the words compact together not only refer to the architecture, they refer to the people of the city and the people fitting together as a body. And we're reminded of the Apostle Paul speaking of the body of Christ and all the individual parts fitting properly together and causing the growth of the body in love. It is a city of fellowship and of love because God is present in her. And it's a city to which the tribes go up. All the tribes of Israel. And I really like those words because it's a time for us to acknowledge the fact that we gather, we go up. We come together as the people of God. It doesn't matter our ethnic origin. It doesn't matter the race from which we stem. We come together in God, in Jesus Christ. And why do we come? Well, the third verse, or rather the fourth verse, tells us, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel. That is, it's an ordinance of God. It's a command of God to go up to worship. And why do we come together? Well, on one hand, we would readily say that we come together because God's appointed the time. And we, as His people, are obedient to that command to come together. And it's a testimony. It's a testimony that we bear before God as we come up to Him that we love Him. And it's a testimony to the world that we bear, that you bear. You love the Lord your God and you love Jesus Christ. And so you enter into His presence with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise to give thanks to the name of the Lord, as verse 4 tells us. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. You are the good and gracious God who fulfills your promises and gives us life. And we praise you because this is indeed the case. And so, as the psalmist says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem, that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. What are these thrones? Well, in one respect, these thrones are the consecutive thrones of the kings of Israel, the children of David, who sat upon them, and it all culminated in Jesus Christ. There the thrones are established. And King David, King Jesus, is there. Sometimes we don't realize that God does work in His church through His people and through His appointed leaders. It's an amazing thing, I think, that the elders of the church, when they come together, are called the session. And the session is the ruling body of the church. And the idea goes back to the session of Jesus Christ, His rule and reign in heaven. And when we are led by our elders, Jesus Christ is exercising His rule and His reign in our midst through the power of His Spirit and by His Word. There the thrones are established, the thrones of judgment. Jesus Christ is King, and we follow Him, folks, and He is very present with us. And then we come to the third part of the psalm. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I now say, may peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. We gladly come to worship in the house of God. It is a fellowship born of Him. And we pray for the peace and the goodness of God upon His house. Notice how the word peace is given to us three times in this particular section. Verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Verse 7, may peace be within your walls. And verse 8, I will now say, may peace be within you. Of course, the peace that the psalmist is speaking of is the peace that comes from God. It is the peace that passes all understanding. It is the peace that comes when God rules and reigns within His city. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. And when we gladly pray for the peace of the church, it's out of a deep love for the church. And when we pray for the prosperity of the church, it's out of a deep love for the church of Jesus Christ. May they prosper who love you. The word prosper there and the word prosperity in the next verse are words that are very similar to the word peace
In the original language, they have the same root. It's a prosperity that comes out of knowing God. It's a prosperity that comes out of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. May they prosper who love you, our Lord Jesus Christ. May peace be within your walls, Jerusalem, in the original, and prosperity within your palaces, within the gates of the temple precincts. And why would we pray for peace? For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. Peace is absolutely necessary within the church. No one wants to come to the worship of God when there's tension, when there are divisions, when there are fights and quarrels within the church. No one wants to come. But when there's peace, and when we can come and rest in the arms of God, we gladly come. And so it's important for us to pray for the peace, for the sake of my brothers, for the sake of my friends, that they will have the peace of God. And then for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Why would we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Why would we pray for the peace of the city of God? Why would the people pray so fervently in those days of David? Because they knew that when Jerusalem was at peace and the worship of God was carried out within the city, and the people would gladly come up to Jerusalem for the feasts three times a year, when all of those things were in order, the whole nation would also be at peace, and the whole nation would also be in order. We too, friends, need to pray for the peace of the church and the prosperity of the church, because the welfare of our nation and the welfare of our world is bound up in the peace and the prosperity of the church. For the sake of my brothers and for the sake of my friends, may peace be upon you, people of God, even here. And for the sake of the church at large and the world at large, may peace be upon you. See, it all folds together. And when we gladly come up to the house of God, and when we gladly come into the presence of God, and when we gladly, friends, pray for the peace of the church of God, it really is an indication of the love and affection we have for our God, and it is an indication of the love and affection that we have for the church of Jesus Christ. May God stir us up. May God stir our hearts and give us a gladness that is infectious. God knows we need this. God knows we need an infectious joy and gladness to come up to the house of God, to enter into the presence of God, to pray for the peace of the church of Jesus Christ. And when there is an infectious gladness, you know what happens? Others join us coming up to the house of God and gladly do so. Others join us in entering into the presence of God to worship Him. Others join us in praying for the peace and prosperity of the church of God. Gladly, friends, we do these things. And it is, in turn, an indication of our love and affection for God and for His church. And so, perhaps what we need to do. Perhaps this is a need on our part to pray, Lord, make me glad when others say, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Lord, make me glad to come into your presence and worship you. Make me glad to pray for the peace and prosperity of the church. And then we will fulfill what the psalmist has to say. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We will fulfill what the psalmist has to say about coming into the presence of the Lord. And we will fulfill gladly prayer for the peace and prosperity of the church. May God make it so. And may God be pleased to impress upon our hearts our need at this point. Make us glad. And may others come with us. Let's pray together. Father, thanks for your word. And thank you, Father, that you're good and gracious to us. We pray, Lord, that you'd be pleased to bless us with a proper understanding of what the psalmist has to say, how you are pleased to fulfill your promises in our midst. And we pray, Lord, that your grace will indeed make us glad to come up to worship you, to enter into your presence, and to pray for the peace and prosperity of your church. Bless us to this end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.